We on. Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host, and it is my pleasure and joy in life to bring live music to TV. Today we got a fabulous alternative blues group. They blew dirty blues, you guys call them, right?
Oh, God. Okay.
Group called Blue Mozart. You can see them around town at the Roadhouse in Brewster, at the Clatta in Mayo Pack. What other places did we talk about?
Roadhouse in Stormville.
Okay.
Pretty soon.
Is that the Ale House?
No, Huntington Ale House.
Huntington Ale House.
Station 7 will be
in
Chat
Peekskill?
19. Yeah, Station 7 at Peekskill.
Chat 19 in.
I think it's Larchmont.
Larchmont.
The Duck Inn.
I love playing the Duck Inn.
That's great.
We do
great
too.
Place. Great little place.
You know what I like about that? That place has a scene. I mean, they don't even need the bands. It's just packed.
That's true.
So it's just, you know, when I play that place, I never worry how many people I'm bringing because...
They have their own.
Right, but I do bring... If you're listening, I do bring people.
Great
audience.
So
do we, a few. No.
right. But it's just funny. There's a constant migration in and out of the club, smoking. A lot of big smokers at that club. But so Blue Mozart, and I love your story. How you got the name Blue Mozart? Tell me again.
Well, as I said, it was a put down. I worked in the '50s band, and they didn't like the arrangements. I would overarrange everything. Everything had 10 parts when I was with them. And the guy said, "Who do you think you are, effing Mozart?" And he constantly said it. And anytime I tried to do a little fancy arrangement, he'd say, "Hey, Mozart." No. So I said, "Okay, I'll take it."
And your group name, I mean your name in the group, is Mozart Rottweiler.
Well, that comes from the group before I had called Mozart Rottweiler with Sinister Undertones. It was a gothic group.
Yeah, I love it.
In fact, I did quite a few albums under that name, darker tunes like Black Sabbath. I call it rusty metal. It's old metal, so it's rusty, a little out of date.
Oxidized.
I brought a little doo-wop into it, a lot of blues. It was just something very different.
Did you ever go out on Ozfest with that group?
I think they might have accepted it. I don't know. When we were all dressed up in the makeup and everything, yeah, they'd probably go for it.
Oh, you wore makeup?
Well, yeah, vampire type of a thing.
Cool.
It's the first I've heard of this.
See it on the first album.
Yeah. Now, Blue Mozart, you're at myspace.com/Blue Mozart.
Right.
BlueMozart.
Correct. We have some songs there you can listen to.
And you also have a few records on CD Baby. Right?
Yep. Yes.
So we're not ready. At some point in the kind of near future, we're going to hold up the CDs and we're going to have Joe really focus in on them in a few moments. Okay. So this is part two. We had you on part one. And we started the questions, which CDs would you bring to a desert island? And we started, well, John...
Yes.
Plays guitar and bass. Artie plays guitar and bass. And Mozart Rottweiler plays, guess, guitar, bass,
and harmonica.
So I think it's about time to hold up the CDs. We'll start very slowly.
Slowly he turns. Niagara Falls.
That's right. So, this is the album that's your most current.
Those are all covers of root blues tunes, Blue Mozart.
And what is the name? Because I can't see the...
Blue Mozart, Undercover of the Blues.
Awesome.
That's the title of the album, right?
Okay, and you can get it at CD Baby or iTunes or...
Or Amazon.com.
And interesting, you were telling me that it's actually taken off in Europe. Have you guys thought of doing a European tour?
If they send me a plane ticket,
yeah,
we'll
go. Exactly. We actually have had sent that CD to a radio station in France who actually requested it.
We got airplay.
So cool. That's possible how we may have sold some songs in Europe and other countries also.
Now I'm holding up another CD, which is a... Go ahead, you tell
us. Mozart Rottweiler with sinister undertones. It's called Plan 9 from Outer Space Christmas. It's a Halloween Christmas album. It's a crossover. You've got different Christmas legends, darker ones. Actually, one tune is actually taken from the Plan 9 from Outer Space Ed Wood's movie. So you might get a kick out of it. Very interesting music.
Birds,
different.
Birds on Fire, I can only imagine.
That's actually a tribute to the Twin Towers. I was listening to a news show, and one of the children asked one of the teachers who was in a school looking towards the towers. They were seeing the burning bodies fall. And he asked the teacher, why are those birds on fire? And it brought tears to my eyes, and I didn't make a good song.
Now I'm holding up another CD. This is yours, Artie?
That is a CD I did some years back with another hard rock band I was in called Tungsten 12, obviously you can see, and that's the collective works that we've done over the years I put together.
And where can they pick this up?
You could also get that on CD Baby. And there's also a website, MySpace/Tungsten12.
Okay.
There'll be some cuts on there. And there's also actually a tribute to 9/11 called T9/11. And also, it's not on that particular CD, but it's available on MySpace, and you can download it if they'd like to. That's not a money-making song.
Okay.
It's a tribute.
Awesome. So, anyway, now that we've shown the CDs in a great fashion, we've already asked you your two Desert Island CDs, and just to recap quickly, John?
Little Feet, Waiting for Columbus, and the ultimate collection of Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli.
Now, I just got to tell you, Spanish Moon is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
That version, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to Artie, and let me not forget Mozart Rottweiler this time.
Mine was the first Black Sabbath album, which is simply called Black Sabbath, and the Rush album called 2112.
Okay, and so now we come to the creative fountainhead of the group. So Mozart, Rottweiler.
Well, it's difficult for me. I listen to a lot of different styles of music, so if I was stuck on a desert island and I had to listen to two albums constantly, would have to be the collected works of Howlin' Wolf and Electric Ladyland. I don't think I could wear those out. I would listen to those constantly.
Which Voodoo Child do you like better on that album?
Well, number one, of course. The short one. It's more concise.
Oh, right. It's also like a completely different song.
Yeah.
Okay, what's another favorite tune on that album?
The Gods Made Love.
Yes, that's an awesome tune.
Jimi Hendrix actually playing keyboards on that.
Oh, really?
It's funny. There's so many musicians you wouldn't know on that album. In fact, there's a story that he was in a taxi, and he asked the guy if he played an instrument. He says, well, I play bongos, timbales. He brought him into the studio. He's on that album. Never got paid.
Right. Just thinking the guy's got a big lawsuit against the Hendrix estate. I made that album. The bongos on that cut, it would have been completely different.
But groundbreaking album, very different. He just had complete creative freedom on that album, unlike the other ones. He was more or less held down.
Yeah, I thought, I like parts of the album. There's some stuff I'm not crazy, but it's just a shame that he died when he did, because he was taking everything he did and then putting a funk to it, funk beat to it.
So experimental, yeah.
Exactly. At the end, and it was just a shame that he passed, but that's the way it goes. So the interesting thing about Blue Mozart is that you're all coming from different places, and you come together and you get this magic sound. Artie's coming from a little bit of a heavy metal. You're coming from like a doo-wop blues background. You're coming from a Grateful Dead background. So it's nice. And of course, we're missing the drummer. Like in Spinal Tap, is he gone? Has he passed? Did he blow up? Or he just couldn't make it? What's his name?
Ken Green.
Okay, Ken, we miss you. kind.
He's been around a while drumming too, actually, for a while.
In fact, the song we played, there's a drum solo in there, which I'm trying to do on a guitar, but it just doesn't quite make it.
His famous story was, as I recall, he was telling it, he was playing at the China Club, and Jimmy Page was in the audience.
He actually got to jam with Jimmy Page.
And did he like what Jimmy played?
Well, he was trying to do these bonzo licks, and Page turned around, he said, and looked at him with an approval.
Okay. Yeah, just to be on the same stage is kind of like a...
That Page was three sheets to the wind
smile
at the time.
Ear to ear.
Yeah, well, that's what I was implying. Anyway, guys, you ready to play your original tune for us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, I love this tune. I love the hook, which is Loving You. If Loving You is Hating Myself, or is that it?
Yeah,
it started out as Backstabbing Mama, but it's Loving You is Like Hating Myself.
The alternative title, right?
Right. And one would ask, why would you date a woman who is so evil?
Do you answer that?
Oh.
The power of Mugamba.
Great, googly-moogly.
Leave that as... I love that. The power of Mugamba. Okay. Okay. Let's leave it at that. So, let's hear it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice version of that song. Is that to be found on the group CD or?
Actually, that's going to be on the one coming up. We didn't have that one on this one.
It's not on that one, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? So if people buy this one, when do you predict the new album will be out?
Well, we want to get into a studio and actually do a nice, clean version, maybe with some more originals on it.
Okay, so it basically will come out after you start.
Something like that.
Exactly.
We'll go in, we'll record it, and then it'll be out.
Well, all the cuts on that album were done live, actually. Oh, so it's a live recording.
It's a live album. More clubs in this area.
It's all from this area. It's all live and uncut. So
occasionally we put this in rotation on the MySpace site so people can hear it. We changed that.
Well, you probably couldn't. You could find that song on MySpace once in a while. We rotate the songs on.
Right. We were talking about this before at work today. I was basically Googling you guys, and you know I could not get to your main MySpace site because where I work, they filter MySpace. Mm-hmm. They filter YouTube.
Huh. Well, mine too. Where I work too, they do that. So
how are you supposed to get any work done?
Yeah, right.
So I couldn't get to it, but I did manage to get to CD Baby and some other places where I read about you guys, which because I always like to do a little bit of my homework. Even you know, it's just funny because I think at least you two I've jammed with. I'm not sure if I've have I played with you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't get out to the jams that much anymore.
It's tough, I know.
Well, I mean, you know, once you start playing gigs, so you do a 4-hour gig, you're going to
play. You do less of the jams, I know.
You do 3 hours of actual playing, then you go to a jam, you're there 4 hours, you play for 10 minutes.
And then you're warmed up.
Right. You're ready to go, and then you have to stop, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I think that basically the jams, some of the jams are a good place for meeting people.
Well, that's how we met. The first time we met, like he said, we got up and played and we clicked and it was just immediate reaction. You know, two weeks later he calls me and says, oh, by the way, we're going to play a gig. He's like, okay, you know, that 30 song list, you know, 30 songs I have to learn in, you know, like 2 weeks, you know. So
now, you know, most of the bands that I know don't rehearse at all. You know, basically if they're doing cover tunes, they take the record and they learn the record and that's it. Do you guys actually rehearse occasionally or?
Well, we
occasionally we do, yes, but we had some issues with drummers.
We're using the jams to rehearse. Okay. We get those, we try out the material, see how the people reacted to it, and see how we wanted to do it. And because we're doing that open sort of a jam format, you know, you create a rhythm pocket for somebody to come in and play.
Right.
So I'd give a pocket for John, a pocket for him, and as you play it, they'd sort of morph into what you were eventually going to do.
I like it, John and him.
John, how are you?
Cool. So I'll give a shout out to Gary Schwartz, who is looking for
a new home for his
jam, I guess. Yeah. He was in O'Malley's and
it looks like one on Thursday nights now too. At the bungalow. I went to both of those last week.
Oh yeah, so how did you like so?
Oh, it was great.
The bungalow is where?
It's in Carmel off Stoneleigh Avenue.
Toward the
Croton Falls end.
Yeah, more towards Croton Falls end, right.
And you enjoyed that one?
Yeah, it was great. Completely different feel than the other one.
Than O'Malley's?
Than O'Malley's, yeah.
Completely so actually different. Room has a different vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
I never got
smaller
to
place.
No, that one I haven't, well, O'Malley's I've played at, but I haven't been to this bungalow yet. I'll have to check that one.
Well, you know, some guys make their livings basically doing jams because for a lot of bands it's the only way. I want to talk to you guys about this. I know some guys who, when they play a show, they deliberately like email people and say, oh, come on down and jam with me. And what they're basically doing is trying to fill the room.
Well, we do it.
I'm not saying you guys. I'm saying specific people. And I do it myself. I'm just I'm very particular about
who you're going to bring.
Who I let up. So. You know, I've played one place where I played at this place and around five different people came up to me who I did not know and expected to be able to sit in with me and were kind of shocked when I politely said no. Then I had other people who I knew and I didn't let them come up. But how do you guys feel about on a gig, on a paid gig, bringing people up?
If we know them and we know they can play and play well, it's great.
Yeah.
Especially if I know a good bass player comes up, I can take my hands off my bass, play harp, grab the microphone, work the room a little bit, which I'm strapped down. I can't do that.
Well, especially with that bass, that Kramer bass you play, that has vinyl-coated steel strings
and a wooden strap.
Right.
That's another story. Like I said, it's like a total 50 pounds.
Were you a weightlifter?
A funny story. I was playing with the Undertones, and we were all dressed up, and I had a long white wig, and I had this rosewood strap, and I tossed it up to pick up the other guitar, and it caught the wig. So the wig, the guitar, everything crashed to the ground, and I was able to grab the other guitar, and then I had to retune everything. But rosewood strap is not a good idea to use on a guitar if you got long hair. I'll tell you right now.
And also, getting back to having people come and play, we try to do that more towards the end of the night. Like, in the very beginning of the gig, we probably wouldn't have too many people.
Specific
songs. Like third set, maybe someone would come up and jam with us. It's fun.
So, supposing someone shows up your gig at 9:30, comes and tells you, "Hey, I brought my axe." You're going to make them wait 3 hours to play with you?
It all depends.
You can come up anytime. I've heard you play.
If you came, probably
you can play.
You can say anything until this is in the can, right? Then the story changes, right? Then I never want to see you again. No, it's just interesting because, for us, the type of music we play is basically kind of an older form of music. I don't know. Do you attract a 20-something crowd?
We attract at all. I've seen all ages at our gigs.
But your core following?
Old to whatever you want to call it.
Well, basically, bikers are our following. Bikers love us.
Are you guys bikers?
Well, I just recently bought a motorcycle.
Okay.
I hadn't ridden for 30 years. So, but I know a lot of bikers. But the young guys like us because we're crossover. We do the blues very heavy.
Yeah,
we're palatable to the heavy metal crowd.
Okay, well that's good. I've just seen a lot of people recently, basically do this whole special guest thing, and it's a way to fill the room. And I guess it's a good idea. And that's why so many clubs host jams, because a jam done right will fill a room.
Mm-hmm.
Fill a room. Rather.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Me personally, because I live in White Plains, I go to the Lazy Lounge on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, we've attended there, not in a while, but we have
Curtis
played
Winchester.
There, jammed there.
That's right, Curtis Winchester. I'm keeping it local,
Mm-hmm.
So, I try to get up to Gary sometime, but then I think, let me see, I could walk to this one, or I could drive 30 minutes up there.
Where we are, unfortunately, there's nothing close because we all live in Putnam County. Well, he lives in Peekskill. I live in Putnam Valley and he's in Mayfax, so we're...
The once a month Sunset House Jam is pretty good. I live in Peekskill. So.
That just started, though.
Someone just told me about... You told me about Rubens.
Rubens?
Right, that's
it's not
Peekskill,
a jam, but it's a Mexican restaurant that they're starting to book blues acts. They had Tony T there just recently. Good friend of ours.
Right, well, the thing with Tony is he's actually got a real agent behind him.
Right, he just gets a call and then goes to the gigs. Not like us going all over creation trying to find gigs. Right.
But you guys hooked up with Glamazon, and hopefully they're going
hopefully,
to
start
booking
you. Try to help us out. We'll see.
Okay, so we're just about done. I want to get to the other canned question, which is, who would be in your dream band, or who would you replace in your dream band? I'm going to start with you.
Well, I'm going to shock you. Maybe not. I'm an old style. I would have Willie Dixon playing
on
the bass. Johnny Winter and Hubert Sumlin playing guitar. Professor Longhair on keyboards. And believe it or not, Tony T on drums. I think he's one of the easiest people to work with and the most versatile drummer in this area. And I can't think of a better person I'd like to play with.
Well, Tony T thanks you for that plug. You, Artie?
I would love to have John Bonham be in a band with because he was one of my actual favorite drummers, and I didn't realize how really good he was until I saw the Live Zeppelin DVD that's out.
Yeah, Out of the West.
And that just amazed me to no end, just watching him play and just, in the older days, when he was younger, it's just totally amazing. One of the best drummers I've ever seen in my life. And that's what Tony T actually, gets his power from. You can tell the way he uses that pedal. That quick bass drum is incredible.
You know, I think that the big rock stars and the big country stars have it easier than us. Because basically, you know, I have that Out of the West DVD, and there's like maybe 10 songs on it, you know.
Right, right.
They didn't have a huge repertoire.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that much, right.
You know, so, I mean, they picked what they liked, and they just did it over and over and over
again. They did a lot of covers, too, back then, too, if you remember some of the...
Right, but there's not a lot of songs on that DVD.
No.
Anyway, John, I don't want to leave you out. You got a minute. Go for it.
Well, there would have to be Mickey Hart on drums, Bill Kreutzmann on drums, probably Jerry Garcia on guitar, and Bob Weir on guitar and vocals, and Brent Midland on keyboards, playing Grateful Dead in the 1977, sound.
And what would you be doing in the band?
I'd fill in. I'd be behind the scenes.
So you like, so you like the 77 version of the band?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the...
And actually, real quick, which would shock you, is Ray Charles is actually one of my favorite musicians also. I would love to have met him.
Great.
He just was the personality, the type of person he was. That's just to throw that in.
Did you guys... speaking of that, did you guys see... there's a movie out called The Festival or something, and it was where they took... They took the Grateful Dead
and Joplin
on a train through Canada.
Great.
I think it's called The Festival, and it's pretty incredible. And the Grateful Dead, that was the best I ever heard them on that.
The
that
song was, Might As Well is actually about that whole
thing. Oh, really?
Yes.
And they do a song on that I'd never heard on an album because it was never put on one of their regular...
Most of their songs weren't put on albums.
Anyway, guys, I've run over. I want to thank Blue Mozart for being in the studio. Catch them live. They don't play acoustic guitars live. They make a lot of music. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right.